Hello and welcome to It's Lainey. This week, I'm talking about moms. There's a lot of them. They're there, and I think they're the boss of you. I'm talking about moms. I'm talking about daughters. I'm talking about how Montessori schools probably are not real. I don't think that's a real thing. We answer the motherfucking question, which has to do with baseball. I don't care for baseball, and you know why? It's because those peanuts could choke a baby. I don't think I should go anywhere where babies could choke. I think it's aggressive. And finally, we're going to talk about Aaron's secret neck pussy that he will not admit to having. I know that you have it. I know that it's there. I know that it's affecting our relationship, and I know that you get moody this time of the month, so I would really appreciate it if you would open up to me emotionally instead of trying to close down, because you don't have an extra dick on the side of your body, even if you want one, and I wish that you would stop insisting that that is good. This is It's Lainey. We're here. Get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Lainey Leonards, and shut the fuck up, because I'm talking now. Suck my dick. Okay, here we are. We're doing it. Aaron is here. I'm here. That's all we need. Also several microphones. Also money to live. Maybe send me some of that. Get your shit together. Support what I'm doing so that I don't have to support myself. How about that? That is selfish. Okay, well, hello, everybody. I'm happy to see you. You're looking well. Have you gotten a haircut? Is that a haircut? You look beautiful, incredible, wonderful. Your eyes are sparkling. You look like you've had so much excellent sex. Very proud for you. I'm happy to talk to you today. I recently got back from my home where my family is. I was visiting my family. And I have been noticing a lot of things about, you know what, as an adult, it's interesting to notice how, what makes you different from other people. You know what I'm saying? Like, and a lot of what makes you different from other people is the way that you were raised, the way that you interact with the people around you, the type of people that you interact with. And I've been thinking a lot about how much that influences you and how much that's defined who I am as a person. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that my family is primarily matriarchal, I would say. Have I spoken about this before, Aaron? There's just a bunch of women. What do you mean just? Excuse the fuck out of me, Aaron. There's just a bunch of women? Well, there's just a bunch of herpes on your dick. Okay, so get out of my face right now. You have been very rude, and I hope that you will learn your lesson someday, but you will not. You're a puddle of jizz just waiting to happen. I can't help you, okay? I can't help you. I can't help you because you're beyond help, because you're killing it, Aaron. You're a good guy, and you're a great friend. Thanks, pal. You really keep me going. Okay. Okay, so I have recently realized that not everybody comes from a matriarchal household, which obviously is perhaps not the, you know, 1950s nuclear family norm, but I had not paid attention to it before, but because I didn't realize that was what was affecting me. So I guess just to give you a little bit of detail, so my grandmother is the oldest of three girls. My mother is the oldest of three kids. She has two younger brothers, and then I am the oldest of three girls. So all of the key members of my family who offered wisdom, who made decisions, who gave advice, who organized everything that we did, they were all women. It was my grandma or my great aunts or my mom or me or my sisters. So, and I have, you know, cousins who are men, and but mostly I'm surrounded by women. And so it didn't even occur to me. Well, and I've realized that that's affected me in a couple ways, which are number one, I think that I'm in charge. And sometimes it is surprising to me when I realize that other people don't think that I'm in charge. So that's why it's always so strange when somebody, when people treat you differently in the workplace as a woman, because they'll come up to you and then they'll breeze over what you said, like they didn't hear it. And I know that being talked over and being ignored is something that happens to most women a lot of the time. And in certain situations, I expect it. But at work, it is confusing to me because I was always good at school. I have been recognized for, you know, my academic knowledge for most of my life. And generally, your work is supposed to distinguish you as in terms of your worth, right? So when my work is good, I expect that to correlate with my, you know, employment or my status being good, which is not the case. But my point is that whenever somebody talks to me and they, you know, ignore what I'm saying or they talk over me, I don't get sad. I get angry. And it's hard for me to hold that back because if somebody walks up to you and they say, what do you think about this? And then you say something very insightful, well thought out, and then some other dickhead says something completely separate that has nothing to do with it, and they don't listen to you, the first thing that I think is, the fuck is wrong with you? Do you not have ears? Can you not listen to people? What, have you been swimming? Did you get water in them? What is your deal? Like, obviously, that's not going to make you money. So I don't know why you would be making this choice. You know, if I'm more... It doesn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying? So it's like when people assume that I'm not in charge because I'm a lady, that really takes me off guard. And it makes me think, well, I got to get a sword. So I'm going to get a katana. I'm going to get a business katana and I'm going to use it for sex stuff. I'm going to cut people's dicks off and I'm going to slice them up and I'm going to serve it to people as hot dogs and they're going to eat it and it's going to be their husband's dicks. And then they'll cry, but they'll get stronger and then they will rule the world in a mafia with katanas and they all take Xanax and they all drive their kids to soccer practice. What is up? That's what we're doing. Are you ready, Aaron? I'm sorry I keep talking about removing people's dicks. I do think they should keep their dicks. I just think that it is a very good threat to make people uncomfortable. And, you know, if there's one thing I love, it's making people feel weird because I feel weird. I feel weird. So being from a matriarchal household, I assume that when I'm in charge, people understand that I'm in charge, which is not the case. When I'm running shows, when I'm showing up to shows, if I'm going somewhere that people haven't met me yet, a lot of the time they assume that I am one of the comics' girlfriends, which is laughable because sometimes, you know, like working the road early was difficult because essentially most of the people who are working the road are men in their 40s, and if I'm a, you know, lady and a 22-year-old lady who's with them traveling, you usually have to split a hotel room. It's difficult to get separate ones. So that takes work away from me. That takes money away from me. That takes, you know, agency away from me. And that's an issue because, some of the people, it has been assumed that I am dating. It is an insult, you know? Like a clerk will look at us and just assume, and I'm like, bitch, what? Are you kidding me? He has grandchildren my age. Why would you even? Oh my God, can you see me? I look, that's not me. That's not what? That's what you think I'm doing? Okay. All right. Well, thank you for the disrespect. Appreciate it. But so I expect that when I'm in charge of something, people will acknowledge that, and they don't. But I also expect that other women are in charge, and that's not something people generally expect either. Meaning that when I'm in a situation where a decision that a man is making for his household, for his business, for his, you know, job, whatever it is, if it's affecting a woman around him who is his business partner, who is his spouse, who is his blah, 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 and I hear this decision being made without any, you know, consultation, I just immediately am like, damn, she's going to fuck you up. Are you kidding me? She's going to be so pissed. Like, what are you talking about? Oh, you're just not going to tell her you're going to make a decision and then she's just going to accept it? What do you mean? Like, that doesn't make any sense. You guys are, it's both of your money. Damn. Okay. That's how it is. She's going to let you use her money for that. Phew, you're an idiot. So I think that I'm in charge. I think that other women are in charge, and I don't understand why I would want a man's opinion when he's not in charge. And I guess what I'm talking about is mansplaining, because sometimes people will jump in on shit that they're not involved in. And that is a quality that everybody can have. I know that I generalize a lot. You know, I know that this can be speaking about people in general terms, and that's not the best way to examine things, because of course you want to think about them like the way that reality reflects them and be pragmatic about it. A lot of the time, especially because people will assume you're not proficient at your profession, at your trade, at your, you know, anything that you have the ability to do, they assume, oh yeah, I've thought about doing that. I could do that. So for example, when I was dating, I tried to avoid bringing up that I was a comic because the answer that I always got was, I mean, sometimes polite people would be like, oh, I'd love to check out your show. That's a very polite answer. That's nice. That's showing interest in what somebody else is into, and it's respecting that they are making something. That's great. That is a completely appropriate response. But 75% of the time, the response that I got to that is, oh, I've done an open mic a couple of times, or, oh, yeah, I've been thinking about doing that, or, wow, do you know this guy? And, I mean, that last one isn't too bad, but usually, essentially, when I tell people I'm a comic, what, especially men, particularly men, when I tell people I'm a comic, they'll tell me, oh, I could do that. And they couldn't. So that's very frustrating. And the thing is, I don't think that's something that's unique to me, because when that happens to me, part of my consideration with it is, well, of course, people think, when people, you know, when somebody tells you they do comedy, you don't know how good they are. You think, you're doing open mics, whatever. And that's different than doing it professionally, right? So in that case, you know, they don't know where you're at. They don't know what level you are. They don't know you yet. So they probably assume that you're not proficient. But the thing is that it's not specific to my experience. Like my best friend who is a kindergarten teacher, whenever she tells people she's a kindergarten teacher, they'll be like, oh yeah, I thought about doing that and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but her job is hard. It's fucking hard. She, you know, at first she was working like 80 hours a week. It was ridiculous. And she was doing all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. But the point is, I don't know why would I want your opinion if you're not in charge, you're not involved, and it's none of your fucking business. So I always kept that out of my description because it only fucked with me and I would get, you know, more angry every time. But yeah, I've recently realized that I think a lot of those qualities come from living in a matriarchal household, which I am very happy about, but does have its drawbacks because, you know, I was thinking about the things that I learned and how I learned when I was a kid. And the way, you know, of course, the way that women and men are educated is very different. The expectations put upon them are very different. And as well as like cultural expectations, regional expectations, religious expectations, those all come into play as well. It's not just gender. And you know what, Aaron? Gender is a construct. It's construction. They're doing construction on it. They've had a bulldozer out there for 8 years, and damn if those potholes aren't fixed. You know what I'm saying? You could have a penis and still wear a mascara, and that is why the bulldozer is silly. So, no more wrecking balls. I came in like a wrecking ball. Oh, I'm sorry, Aaron. I was expecting you to cheer. I guess it's your ears are not working today. You know, honestly, it's great of you to lie down your life at my feet like a Persian rug so I can just walk over puddles. You know what I'm saying? This is the friendship equivalent of laying down your coat so somebody can walk over a puddle, which who the fuck is doing that? Have you ever seen a person do that in your fucking life? Aaron, no. He says no. Me neither. Have you seen it in movies? Yes. Okay, I've seen it in movies as well. So I don't know what bitch is putting their coat down to walk over some puddles. It's like if you're... I understand that the sentiment is that you don't want their feet to get wet, but first of all, don't ruin a... If you're ruining your jacket to achieve that, you're a fucking idiot. You're very stupid because you know what? Just carry her. If you're that concerned about her feet getting wet, just fucking piggyback that bitch over the puddle. Hop, hop, motherfucker, and you're there. But don't fuck up your coat. What is wrong with you? You're going to be cold. She's going to be cold because inevitably later in the movie, you're supposed to give her your coat and be like, oh, this is so romantic because the shoulders are big on you. That doesn't work if you're a hefty gal like me and you put it on. It's way too small and you're popping right out of it. It's like, don't give me your coat, motherfucker. I look like, you know, when you open the tube of biscuits and they start popping out, but they were compressed before that. That is what I look like when a man tries to give me his jacket. It's just popping out like it's fresh from the oven. And you know what? I don't appreciate that. I don't know why you thought this was going to work. You can see me. I'm a larger lady and I could crush you with my butt cheeks. So please don't give me your coat. If you have a big sweater, I would appreciate that, though. That would be very nice. But only if it's very large, because otherwise it's going to look so ungainly on my body because it straps in your boobs, but it also highlights your stomach. Same with polo shirts. Ladies, never wear a polo shirt. They will make you look like a lesbian. And unless you are trying to look like a lesbian, and that's good. Should I maybe say better things? That's so politically incorrect. My point is, polo shirts are not a good look for me, and I wish that you could see it, because, man, do you ever see a lady in a polo shirt and you just think, what tragedy happened to you? You know what I mean? Like, how long have you been working at the YMCA? And it's got to go with, cargo shorts and some Crocs, because, you know, if you're getting it, you're ready. You're ready for business. You're ready for casual business. You're ready to work at a Best Buy. You're ready to do some gardening. You're ready to get on a boat. You're ready to, you want non-slip footwear, breezes on your calves, and for your torso to look like a bag of marshmallows that melted in the sun. That's how you look if you wear a polo shirt. Unless you're very skinny, in which case, good for you. You can pull it off. Congratulations. Or if it's tailored or something, I don't know. But, oh God, the fabric is so bad too. It clings in all the worst places. And then you can see your belly button through the shirt. Have you ever seen, okay, you know what I'm talking about? Yes, when you can see somebody's belly button through their shirt. Dude, if you can see a circle shadow of where your umbilical cord used to be, don't wear that shit. Do not wear that shit unless you're super ripped. Nobody wants to see the shadow of your belly button. Like, maybe your belly button itself is cute, but nobody wants to see just the valley of death that comes with your tummy fold, you know? And this is a rule to me. It's a rule to you. It's a rule to all of us. But you know what that says? That says, ooh, I get Cheeto dust in my crevices. I'm sweaty. I haven't taken a shower in 18 years. I only gargle with Mountain Dew, and my teethers aren't important to me. Woo, yeehaw. You know, classic America. Gotta love it. Sweet home Alabama. So in my matriarchal family, I realized that the way that I was taught had a lot to do with that. And, you know, I guess I've just been kind of connecting with my mother. And of course, and the older I get, the more I am like my mother. I am very much like my mother, and she's very much like me. And I know that a lot of people will say, oh, you know, it's my worst nightmare to become my mother, to become my father, whatever. And I try really hard to think about it in a constructive way, because it's not my worst nightmare. Why would it be? Of course, there are things that I would do differently. Of course, there are things that I would like for myself that she didn't want for herself. But she's a cool lady. She's dope. The only thing that I fear is, I believe, is that, you know, my self-esteem, self-perception, and self-image is based on the model that I had. And women are not encouraged to have a great self-perception, because so everything that I, you know, the things that you learn about yourself in terms of your weight, your skills, your likability, a lot of that is modeled by your parents, right? And I say weight because specifically for women, weight is a big thing. Like, mothers love to comment on weight. And, you know, there are a couple different, but really every time they comment on weight, it's usually the way that they feel about their own weight. So they'll say really fucked up shit to you. You know, you can ask any of your friends, they'll have stories about it, but they'll say super fucked up shit to you about your body. And it's because it's what they were insecure about in their own body, or what they were taught was right or wrong about having a body. And to which I say, give me the nachos. Let me wear a sweater dress. I'm rocking it out, bitch. It's fall. Nobody talk to me. I've got this under control. I look good and I don't need your input. But I've been thinking a lot about the way we teach girls. The way I was taught was, you know, in a matriarchal household, and doing a lot of things that were classically feminine. So dance classes, theater, performance, poetry, you know, things like that. And dance classes were a really big deal, because that is where they taught. I would say here are the top three things that dance classes taught me: how to do makeup, that you're supposed to smile a bunch, and to fake it till you make it. That was the thing that my, you know, tap dancing teacher always told me. And the thing that's funny to me about that is, instead of saying, you're doing a great job, or you can do it, they told us, fake it till you make it. They didn't say, have enough confidence in yourself, just do your best, and that will be excellent. They said, fake it till you make it. So, I mean, that statement essentially is framing a scenario in which you are a fraud and you're supposed to walk through the rest of your life pretending to be something that you're not, because at your core, as a person, you do not have the abilities that you are expected to have, so you should then pretend to have them so people will like you. And that, emotional math, is some bullshit. And of course, that's one way to interpret it. There are other ways. But I will tell you that sometimes the way we talk to girl children is super fucked up. And when I have a girl children, this is what I will say to her. I will say, Nancy. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to name my kid Nancy. That'd be fucked up. I don't know. I'm not going to have any kids, though. So, but anyway, I would tell her, Nancy, you're a bad bitch. Keep doing what you're doing. Never touch a penis. No, I wouldn't actually say that to my child. What would I say to my... I don't know. Let's just imagine she's an age where I don't have to mention penises yet. But I would tell her, you can do anything you want to do and you're killing it and everyone's fine. Okay, I think I'm not very good at talking to children, maybe. I'm just going to get a papoose and strap her to my body and let her feel the warmth of my love. You know, she's going to live in a cocoon off of my... what do you call those? Scapulas. Does a papoose go in the front or the back of you? Front? All right. Well, that's my soft part. So good for her. She's going to be comfy for years. There's a chaise lounge of body coverings. It's comfortable. If you are going to get a papoose, you put it on the front or you will look like a jackass at your Montessori daycare. And Jaden is going to notice it and he's going to waddle up to you and he's going to say to you, hey, white bitch, why you got a Native American baby carrier strapped to the back of you, you fucking idiot? We just learned about this. And also, I don't care about the genocide of the Native American people. So that's what that child will say to you, because Montessori school really explores some things, but maybe doesn't always give you the whole story. Do I know what Montessori school is? It's iffy. So I guess what I'm saying is that you should enroll your children in Montessori school. You're going to learn a lot, chiefly the definition of what a Montessori school is. Although what I will tell you is you'll probably be fucking confused because they're probably going to be letting them do free movement for a lot of the day. And here's the thing. As much as I support a lot of real liberal bullshit, I still have the negativity to know that it's liberal bullshit, which is a hard spot to be in because I am both trusting and analytical, which means that I love a thing while I hate myself for loving it. Oops, I'm sassy and new wave. Okay. So here's what I'm saying to you this week. You know what? Your mom should be in charge, and then you should be the mom of your friends and your business. So you're the mom of your business. Don't let anybody fuck with you. If people try to fuck with you, you tell them, I'm going to hit you with the back of a spoon because you're a piece of shit and I'm making chili right now. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Like, don't come up to me while I'm typing on my computer and try to tell me you need something. You don't fucking do any work, Brian. And I don't want you speaking to me and I don't want you getting close to me because you keep saying fucked up shit about women. And I would prefer that you didn't do it in my zone because I yell at you every time and you know that it bothers me and you do it on purpose just to annoy me, which is, you think I'm going to stop? I will yell and the whole office. Well, I've talked about this before. I have an issue where when people treat me poorly, I yell. And so the office, it doesn't work well with an open plan office because, you know what? Maybe that's more of the workplace. But my point, Aaron, is you're the mom of your heart and you don't need a daddy for your puss in order to make money. Yes. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make $1 million and then I'm going to get a sequined jumpsuit and I'm going to wear it while I'm eating cheese on a chaise lounge made of velvet that's leopard print and watching the television. And it'll be music. It'll be Ciara music videos and I'll be high as fuck and she's going to be gyrating and I'm going to be sitting there like, hey, I have $1 million. What's up now, doubters? What's up now? It's coming, Aaron. A storm is coming. Hello, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, goats and guts, nuts and butts. We are proud to announce that today's show is brought to you by Toes. Yep, that's right. Human toes. You can wiggle them, nibble them, balance, and hop. The human toe is the miracle of your leg. Sure, knees are pretty cool and ankles are downright complicated, but who notices that stuff? With toes, you can pick things up off the floor, rock a pedicure, or impress your most intimate suitor. Damn, girl, you've got adorable little tippy toes. You're overwhelmingly cute, and will you please marry me? Well, thank you for asking, Dwayne. That is an excellent question, and I would love to. How many kids do you require? Three? Okay, I want one, but I could do two if that will work for you. Done deal. Excellent. So remember, respect your toes, and your life will fall into place. And now it's time for the motherfucking question! Da, da, da. Are you ready for this, Aaron? Aaron, you are my sounding board and you are my whole heart. You mean so much to me. I'll cut your dick off, bitch. Okay, let's do the motherfucking question. Here is the motherfucking question that we got this week. And they said, this is my go-to icebreaker for whenever I meet people. This is the question I always ask them. So now I'm going to pose it to you. If you were a slugger in Major League Baseball, what song would you choose to play as you walked up to the plate? Okay, so baseball, I'm a comic. I do not think about who fucking listens to the goddamn who listens to the song when you're playing baseball? Baseball is very boring. The pants look good. I like to see their butts, but you have to sit too far away. You can't even see their butts. If they're not, it's not engaging. They're chewing gum. Their jaws hurt. I just want to eat the snacks and drink the beer. And it's sometimes fun, but oh my God, it takes so long for them to do anything. It just takes so long. So the pants are baseball. My review of baseball. The pants are great. Get your shit together, baseball. So my first thought was baseball. I'm a comic. I don't think about what song we'll play when I go up to the plate. That doesn't sound like a badass move to me. I think about what song we'll play when I host the Oscars. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Like, when I have my $1 million, then I will be wearing my Ellen DeGeneres suit and I will be balling on these hoes. I will be fucking it up. But I do understand that what you are saying is this is your moment of power. This is your big introduction. This is you walking into the room ready to wow them, dazzle them, keep them coming back for more. What the fuck song are you going to play to tell everybody, I'm not messing around. I am here and I'm down and dirty and I'm here to party. So I don't know a lot about music, but I can tell you the pump up songs that I have been listening to recently, because what I like to do if they're going to play, because often I will when I'm doing shows, sometimes they'll ask you, what song do you want me to bring you up to? Sometimes when I'm producing a show, I, choose the music. And so I get to choose what song I'm coming up to. Things like that. So it's relevant to my life. But recently what I've been doing that I have not done in the past before, because as I think I have mentioned, for a long time, I didn't listen to music because I was so depressed that any feelings made me too emotional and it made me upset. So even if I was hearing like a Beyonce song, I'd just be weeping openly in the back of an Uber. But here are the songs that I've been playing to pump me up recently. I've been listening to Uproar by Lil Wayne. He released it on his most recent album. I have not listened to the album in its entirety. Some of it was boring. Some of it was cool. But what I can tell you is that this song gets me pumped up. It's like, dang, da, da, dang, da, dang, da, dang. It doesn't sound like that, but, emotionally. And 5, 4, 3, 2, let the one go. Anyway, it's up. It's hap. Okay, so Uproar by Lil Wayne. Second, Ape Shit, The Carters. It just gets you jazzed up. I'm not saying they're the best songs, but I am saying they're the songs where they tell. I want a song that tells everyone literally with the words literally say, I will fuck you up. Don't get in my way. That's what I want. That's what I want in a walk up song. A song that's, and also I like it if they're pretty dirty, because that tells people I'm about to walk up here. I'm about to talk about my pussy a lot. There's nothing you can do about it. And I need you to get comfortable with it immediately, because I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want to do. And if you don't like it, you need to leave, because I am the one who organized this show and I'm in charge of it. So nothing's going to change in your favor. So if you don't want to be here, you can leave, because somebody else wants your seat. Okay. And they don't have any money, because the people who like me maybe don't, but maybe the people who like me do. I don't know. Okay. Too much. Ape Shit by the Carters. She talks about stacking money. I like that. She talks about equity. She talks about getting paid in equity. I like that. She tells them to stack it faster and that she's great on a dick. So I have mixed feelings about that, because on one hand, I'm like, yes, bitch, get it. Tell them that you could destroy their world. And on the other hand, I'm like, I don't really care about your dick skills right now. I just want to get paid. My third one, Jungle Pussy. Honestly, Bling Bling. It's pretty silly, but bling bling, bitch. Do your own thing, bitch. Fuck a wedding ring. That ding-a-ling was just a fling, bitch. That's what she says. And she says it a lot. And she says it with confidence. And that's what I like. in a song. Also, Destiny's Child. Been listening to a lot of that. I like it. It's silly. It's goofy. It makes me happy. And you know what? They talk a lot about their bills and getting other people to pay them, and I appreciate that. And also, how hard they work. And then a classic for me, Nicki Minaj. If she ever, you know, if somebody says they're a cunt, that's what I want people to know about me before I go. So if I was in Major League Baseball, I would play, this is the song I would play. Hey, I have so much money. Give me equity. I don't have any children. I'm a huge cunt. Do you have a problem with my pussy? I'll stomp on you. Goodbye. That's the song. You know what? Aaron, isolate that. That's my coming up to the plate music, buddy. That's what I'm going to listen to. God, yeah, that's good. I really just discovered what I want. So, with this motherfucking question, they told me, hey, this is the question I usually use to break the ice. And my best friend has one of those. She has a question that she uses to break the ice. It's her go-to. It's her go-to would you rather. So, and I really like it because I find people's answers to be interesting. If you choose a good would you rather, it might tell you something about the person. Usually it doesn't. It's just a silly game. But I love silly games and I don't really care if it matters. So I'm going to pose the question to Aaron, and we have already argued about it. Would you say a great deal or a small amount? A great deal. He held his hands out like, big one, baby. He held it out like, ooh, give a big bear hug. Nope, just kidding. It's about anger. Okay, so, all right, here's the people experiment that we'll do with Aaron, because he's wrong about the answer. So let's ask him his answer now. This is impartial journalism. If you had to choose one of the following, what would you prefer? In addition to the genitals that you already have, you have to have either an extra penis on the side of your hip or a vagina on the side of your neck. Things to consider: menstruating, sexual arousal, general emissions. You got to get an emissions test on. You got to get an emissions test on that dick, boy. Oh my God, that would be great. Oh shit, I want to do that. I'm going to start that. And you know what? You, to be registered as a licensed dick carrier in the state of Illinois, you're going to have to get an emissions test on your penis. And if you fail, then you're putting pollution out into the environment. And we don't want none of that, because that's basically rat poison and nobody wants that in their system. So you're going to have to stand up to the, you know, Federal Drug and Food Administration standards with your stupid jizz cum semen. Things to consider: menstruating, sexual arousal, general emissions, scarves, finding pants. Aaron, what is your answer?
Dick.
He said dick, and he's wrong. And this is why. Yeah, I'll tell you all the reasons you're wrong. You're great, but you're just so wrong. And here's why. Man, men always choose the dick. I don't understand it. And men always choose the dick. What's up, Aaron? You always choose the dick. Okay. Here's the thing. It would be very difficult to find pants. Also, point of inquiry, are these two dicks both functioning dicks? Because, first of all, how big they are affects the way that your body works. Second of all, how is your blood pressure? Is your heart able to pump enough blood to both dicks for them to be aroused? Could you choose? Could you do one dick at a time? Could you have a boner on your hip and not in the front of you? Ooh, you're nodding. Why do you, you're just nodding like, yeah, you could do that. Why do you think you could do that? Practice? Oh boy. All right. So you think it would be like arms? Like arm, how is a dick like an arm? He said it kind of looks like a baby's arm grabbing an apple. I understand that that's a euphemism for dicks, but okay. So then a dick is as coordinated as a baby's arm. You know what baby's arms do? They slap peas into their fucking face. Have you seen a baby try to eat? They miss every goddamn time. So that's, yeah. Yeah. It's like a fucking drunk idiot baby is basically what your dick is. And that's going inside of a person. And I don't, you know what? That's how they make babies. You put a baby arm inside there and you know what? The rest of the baby pops back out. And it's like, why did I have to make, oh, okay. You made only the arm and I had to make the rest of it. That doesn't seem like a very fair split. What is that? 90-10? Get the fuck out of here. I want to do 50-50 on this bitch. You make the bottom half, I'll make the top. Half a baby. That's how you marry your friends. Okay. So you're saying they would be both functioning dicks and you could control them simultaneously in coordination. You could syncopate them, essentially. As long as you don't have a hole in your neck. And what would be wrong with having a hole in your neck? You know nothing of holes. I don't even think you've ever seen a hole. Do you even know the beauty of a hole? Stop laughing and tell me the answer to my question, Aaron. This is 60 minutes. This is hardcore. I need to know the gritty details. What?
I know the beauty of a hole.
You know, I know the beauty of a hole. Okay. Thank God, because honestly, I was getting very worked up and my holes were really yelling a lot. My ears started ejecting earwax. I was just so angry. I was steaming. Here is why I would choose a vagina on the neck. Because number one, you can cover it up with a scarf. Very simple. You can wear a bandana. I already do that anyway. So it wouldn't even be weird. It would just be like, oh, she has like a sassy trademark. That's her thing. Not a big deal. You could wear a turtleneck, whatever. It would be really difficult to find pants. Also, you know what? I am in agreement with you in the sense that there is a certain advantage to having only the body part corresponding to your purported gender, because you will receive less, you know, people are going to throw less shade at you. So I guess in that sense, it is easier. But that's a really boring way to think about it. So the other reason why I'd want to have a neck pussy is because, first of all, it's very easy access. You could get stuff in there whenever. So you could just be like, blah, 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 you know, just get bloop, bloop. Like, how easy would it be to get a dildo in there, you know? Also, you could keep stuff in there. Holy shit. You could keep, what about your mouth? It's right there. But why would I want to put a dildo in my mouth? What's the benefit to me in that situation? Some dude watches and it makes him jizz a bunch? Like, that's not helpful to me in any way. If I want to fuck myself and I don't want to take off my pants, I got my neck pussy. Good to go. Good to go on the neck pussy, baby. So you don't want to have a vagina because it's gross and icky and weird. You don't want men trying to fuck your neck. Well, then just don't show them your vagina. What are you talking about? Did you say that's all I've got? Oh my gosh. It is really hard to be you, Aaron. This has put you through just an emotional whirlwind on an emotional roller coaster, just up, down, in between, upside down. No pussies ever. I hate them. Ah, that's you. That's Aaron. That's our boy. So here are the reasons why I would choose a neck pussy. I feel that it is easy to accessorize with. It is easy to cover up for me. Also, it would be corresponding to my existing organs, thereby decreasing confusion on the part of my sexual partners. I feel like having a hip dick would be a lot of work because then you have to, because then you might get a boner when it's inconvenient and then you'd have to deal with it. Whereas with a vagina, you could just ignore it, but you feel really angry. That's what it's like. Although I guess that's the same for everybody. If you get super horny, you just get real pissed. If nothing happens, you get frustrated. But here's the other thing. Is this additional organ going to have a sex drive? Because let's say in this scenario, let's lay the groundwork. They are not functioning organs. They are superficial. They are there. I know they're there for show, which is a bummer. But how about this?
Nobody else knows that.
Okay. Well, how about this then? How about this? Okay, you do have, so what's better, to have a neck pussy or to have you have your regular dick, but in this scenario, your regular dick is real small and your hip dick is non-functional, but it's huge. Now, which one do you prefer? Yes, yes, get into the question. Yes. Does your neck pussy get wet whenever you want it to? I'm trying to decide where we're going to lay the ground rules for this. Do you want it to? Like, which one is a benefit? Yeah. Then yes, it does. Well, you don't have to use it, but I'm gonna. Okay. All right. But you're gonna. You're a curious guy, Aaron. I know you got to figure your life out. You got to know who you are as a person and you got to explore your crevices, your holes, your body, your butthole. What's wrong with your butthole? Is it weird? Is it strong? Is it saggy? You have a saggy butthole. Okay. So now, yeah, sure. The vagina functions and the penis does not, but it's huge and it really dwarfs your regular working penis. And so literally while you're having sex inadequately, they can see this big ass dick and they're like, why don't you use that one? And you're like, it literally doesn't work. It is the consistency of silly putty. It is the consistency of silly putty. If you rub it on the funnies, you'll get a backwards print of family circus on your dick. Absolutely. You can, I mean, honestly, that sounds like kind of a benefit. That's a fun trick you can do with it. Then it's a fun party trick. And well, here's the other thing. Here's the other thing that I think about, and which is that if you were going to have, you could probably more easily have cosmetic surgery to remove a non-functioning dick from your hip than to remove a non-functioning vagina from your neck, because it wouldn't be maybe as intertwined. But in this scenario, you can't have that. They can't do it. It's like stuck inside your, I don't know, your organs, and it's like tree roots. Like, it's really wound in there, and it would rip out your stomach or whatever. Curse that witch who cursed you. Yeah, and let's say this is because an enchantress, you wronged a gypsy enchantress, and she cursed you with a non-functioning big old ding-dong, and now people can see that you're not what you could have been. And that is the ultimate tragedy. So in that case, would you take the neck pussy or would you take the non-functional big old ding-dong? Dick. Okay. I knew you were going to say it still. Okay. Let's see if I can win this anyway. Man, I don't know. I feel like I would keep having to do, I keep trying to change the rules to find what would have to be for you to accept this neck vagina. And it's, you're shaking your head like it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Well, you know, I guess if I'm being fair, I really don't want a hip dick. Although, you know, it would be pretty. You know what? Other thing to consider, fanny packs. You could just thread it right in there, baby. Just make a hole in it. Dick in a box. You got it. You're fine. Damn, that's very chill. Also, if you were going to masturbate your side dick, it would be so easy. It'd be right there. You could do it on the bus. I mean, don't. Please don't do that. But you could, if you have a secondary penis, please don't masturbate on the bus. At least get a, you know what? If you have a secondary side penis that's non-functioning, you deserve a Lexus. I'll say that. I think that's the answer. You should have a Lexus if you have that extra penis, because it's a curse and I hate it. What if your dick had a period? So your side dick, non-functioning, huge, also has a period. How about then? A couple drops here and there for 5 days? No, it's like the amount that would come out in having a period, which, you know what? I can't speak for other people, but for me, I could build some shit with that stuff. You know what I'm saying? We could make, I mean, you know, there could be a, I don't know if I'll say swimming pool, but hot tub at least. You know what I'm saying? How much does that bum you out in comparison to how much that will bum everyone out? Because I don't have a lot of it. I don't really have an issue with it. I think that's fine. Anyway, so yeah, a bunch of menses comes out of your side dick. Dick? Okay, you'll take the dick. Well, let me give it one last shot. My one final shot at talking you out of the hip dick, which now I'm getting you for your birthday. It's going to be a belt just with a dick on it.
You're going to pitch it to Shark Tank?
Yes, I'm going to pitch it to Shark Tank. Lori's gonna love it. Who's that guy who owns it? What is it? The Boston Mavericks? Are they Boston? Is that what it is? Dallas. Mark Cuban. Yeah, man. He makes a damn good sandwich. I love those Cuban sandwiches. They're so good, though. They are really good. If only he had half the panache of the sandwich that is his namesake. So, also, isn't it kind of a kick in the nuts that he's, like, not Cuban? Is he? I mean, I'm assuming he's not Cuban. Maybe he is, but I'm assuming he's not, and his last name is Cuban. He's not Cuban. Is he anything, or is he white? He does seem like a white guy. I don't know. It's, being white just feels like nobody ever seasoned, you know, like somebody forgot to season the food before they served it, you know? Like, it's not very zesty, but it's, I guess, palatable. All right. So here's my last shot. Here is my last shot at convincing you that you should have a neck pussy. Okay. Ooh, 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 I got it. It drives the ladies crazy, and literally you can sleep with any woman you want. And in this scenario, this is before you're married. It just has a magic power that people will fuck your dick. What do you mean what? Which part do you not understand?
Pussy.
It has a magic allure, like a dazzlement, a field of eroticism, an element of loving compassion. It doesn't have to do with how the neck pussy looks. It's just like, it's like a spell. Yes, it's like a pheromone. Absolutely. It's like that. And it just drives the ladies nuts. So you'd still have a dick? Yes, exactly. shaped like a... No, because you're not fucking with the neck pussy. It's just bringing the ladies in, and then you fuck with your dick. I know. I know that pussy doesn't normally bring the ladies in, but in this scenario, it's just got a magical quality that hypnotizes people. And not hypnotizes in that they are not, you know, they don't have free will. Hypnotizes in that, like, yeah, you're just really hot with the neck pussy for some reason. You're, like, super hot. Yeah, kind of. You flash your neck pussy and all the girls go, who is that guy? I mean, some of them are still not going to be into it because they're like, I don't know, I don't like a guy with a beard, or like, oh, he's from Michigan, or like, oh, I just hate him, or whatever. But it's, the numbers are pretty low. It's like 90-10. Does anybody have that? Maybe people have that. I don't know if anybody has that. 90-10 numbers? Mark Wahlberg? No, that's not a good choice. He's got that weird accent. Okay. Here's what I'm saying. When you have the neck pussy and your original existing dick, you're super hot to ladies. It's like LL Cool J. The ladies love him. You know what I'm saying? But if you have the non-functioning gigantic side penis, wait, no. Okay. The non-functioning side penis that is medium sized, the ladies hate it. And they don't know about it till they get there and then they see it and they throw up. They throw up on your dick, on your existing dick. That's what happens. That's it. That's the spell of that. Ooh, that's my favorite, he says. Ah, Kinky Aaron runs the podcast. All right, well, we are announcing our next podcast coming up on Jazz Fuzz Records. It is hosted by Aaron Landsman, and it is called Ladies, Hawk a Big Loogie on My Peepee. Okay, so final answer, Aaron. What do you take in this scenario? The neck puss drives the ladies wild, and the side dick makes them dry as fuck. You're still going to take the side dick.
Yes.
Why?
Because I don't want a hole in my neck.
Because you don't want a hole in your neck.
At
oh,
any
my
cost.
God. At any cost.
No hole in my neck.
Well, I hate your answer, and you're completely wrong. This has been It's Lainey. Go fuck yourself. You can follow me on everything at It Lainey, ItLainie. Once again, that's ItLainie. Somebody else owns the S. Live shows coming up. You can see me on Saturday, the 27th, at the Big Sexy Show at the Comedy Bar in downtown Chicago, hosting at 11 p.m. You can see me at the Love Below Comedy Show on Thursday, the 15th of November. And as a teaser, look for my upcoming details on my new show. I am going to be excited to share them with you, and everybody in Chicago is invited for a great party. Here's what I say to you. Put your heart in a timeout and let your butthole do the talking. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're my mom. Keep it real.